Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossieAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Thursday, November 11th, 2021. And on this special broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're looking back at some of the biggest stories this year with my special guest co-host, Mary Reed Johnson. You guys know her from Hair Head Heart. Then coming up mid-show, we're honoring our heroes on Veterans Day. And also, we're welcoming Jossie's Au Naturel Hair Care to our Hair Radio Morning Show advertising family. Let's get this show started.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Keep on running 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
meditate for practice. Channel 9 News tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, death is around the corner. 7 misleading statements by my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping to aqueducts, fire hydrants and hazardous smoke alarms on the back of us. For mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, drive for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me. Honestly, guiding me, I can be more than I gotta be. Stole from me, lied to me, nation hypocrisy, code on me, driving me wicked. My spirit inspired me like, yeah. Open correctional gates in high deserts. Yeah. Open our minds as we cast away oppression. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it for every
freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Cause I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom rot in hell. Hey, I'ma keep on running cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Hello everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids, it's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNatural.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to a very, very special broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is our annual year-end review for 2021 in this episode, and it is my great honor to bring to the line my co-host for the episode. You guys know her. She is a radio personality in her own right and doing so many incredible things out there. She was also an announcer right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, let's give a warm, warm welcome of appreciation to the one and only Miss Mary Reed Johnson. Good morning and
Carrie.
Welcome. Yes, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, listen,
do we really need to look back? Because remember, when Lotta White looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt.
Well, let me tell you, Mary Reed Johnson, we have a lot. Yes, we're going to get into quite a bit. This is a show. This is a true radio show that we're going to really look back. Some of it, you know, it's kind of like yanking off a Band-Aid of sorts. You know, You got it done. It may be a little bit of, momentary, as they say, discomfort in the medical world. But you're going to have a long-lasting impact once you open up and expose that to the air again and just embracing what's next. And I have to say...
Well, I trust you to help us heal, so absolutely, I'm on.
Thank you. Well, I think we are both going to be doing that today, Mary Reed Johnson. So it's nice to have you back. First of all, we're going to get into a lot of what happened in 2021. But if you guys can remember, our year really kind of started a little bit earlier than that, and mostly – of course, you can't, you know, the elephant in the room, obviously, is the pandemic. So it kind of, you know, I thought when we were looking at producing this special broadcast for you guys, we were looking at how did we want to frame this? Do you want to talk about the pandemic early on in the broadcast, or do you want to talk about it a little later? However, we came to the conclusion that, you know, the pandemic really, it's called the pandemic for a reason. It's literally across everything, and it really set the foundation for, I mean, you can't escape it. It truly is the elephant in the room, and you have to address it.
It absolutely shaped us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's start there, Mary. And as you guys out there know, we've all lived through this. It did not start in 2020. It didn't start in 2021. It probably didn't even start in 2020, but that's another story. So, Mary, let's look back for a moment, and let's take a look when January of 2021, we were already reeling from dealing with the pandemic. There was a whole lot of talk, if I recall correctly, the folks were kind of, and let me, before we even get deep into this discussion, let's let folks know that what they can also expect in today's broadcast. It's not just a regurgitation of pandemic talk. There is so much to look at that happened in 2021. We're going to cover some of the biggest news stories, some of the biggest pop cultural events, some of the things from the political world. We're also going to look at what is next for us. And of course, as with any big, the end of the year, it gives us a moment to look back at some of the folks who have passed on and not going to be part of that that whole thing to move into the next year. And we're not even talking about the over 750,000 lives lost to the pandemic. So Mary, let's go back in this, as I was just saying, let's take a look at when the year started, we were kind of reeling. I think at that point, the vaccines were just kind of being introduced. They weren't even rolled out, I don't think, at the beginning of the year. I mean, at the part of the beginning of the year. So let's say, what do you recall about that period, and how were you affected? Mary Reed Johnson.
Wow. Well, I would say as early as 2019, there were some stirrings going on, and we kind of poo-pooed everything through 2020. Our leadership poo-pooed everything. And so by the time 2021
right.
hit, our current head of state was really full steam ahead trying to get something approved that people would trust, you know, just vaccines and arms so that we could maybe get our lives back. And so it was a tough and uphill battle, but I'd say current head of state got some stuff done that was very much needed, or we'd, I think, have many more casualties than we do.
Right. Now, that's a very interesting point, and if you look at it, because if I recall correctly, for you guys, President Trump had kind of started with the whole vaccine rollout, trying to get the whole thing started with that. But Joe Biden came in because it looked like it was as if President Trump had kind of stopped and didn't do anything else. And so Joe Biden and his folks literally picked up the mantle, and they literally ran all the way across the finish line with this, getting the vaccines introduced and getting emergency authorization, use authorization out there to folks, and literally making huge news with the nurse who was the first to receive the vaccine in our country. And so, as you said, and I love the wonderful phrase that you just said, poo-pooed, because that is exactly what happened with the former administration under the Trump folks, who it appeared that were a bit, resistant to this whole idea of the pandemic. And there was even some discussions before that they knew, when they knew, how they knew, and this information was not made really get wind of this whole thing until I think the dam broke in like February, if you will. I think February of 2021, and I seem to recall I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and Mary, you're generally out in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. So we got a chance to look from our perspective, and I recall here in New York, now in my community, I live in and mixed in with a lot of folks who are of Asian descent, and they had already been wearing masks around my neighborhood for years,
mm-hmm.
literally. That's
the
truth.
Because COVID is also known as SARS-2. And SARS, they had dealt with in many countries, especially Asia, in the past. So they were used to wearing masks, and they took things very seriously. One of the other things that I was doing, because one of the I don't know if it's a myth, but one of the stories out there about COVID early on was that it came from bats. And so if you'll remember, we had these coins, a lot of our quarters, right, had, I don't know, national preservation type things, but there was a ugly bat on the 2020 coin that I was like, this is so ugly, it's probably going to mean something someday. And if I challenge everybody, find a bat quarter and keep them, but they're not a lot of them. So, you know, we'll see what history has to say about it, but I don't think it was a coincidence.
Wow, that is so interesting. Now, I'll tell you, in at that beginning stage, and that was the last time I had taken a New York City subway in my neck of the woods, because then they rolled out with information was just flying fast and loose. We didn't quite know what to believe. We didn't quite know what to anticipate with the pandemic. So as this whole look back at 2021, this year in review, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're going to be delving in. Almost every topic has some connection to the pandemic. So we're going to move forward with some of these other wonderful things to look back at, some a little sad, but, you know, some great memories also. And Mary Reed Johnson, I want to say, just even on a political front, since we kind of were talking and introduced, mentioned Donald Trump and Joe Biden and all this, you have to be under a rock if you don't recall. Like, it was the early part of January, like around January 6th, I believe, was the date when that insurrection happened. And that is on the Capitol, and which shocked everybody. I was glued to my TV, and we were broadcasting, I believe, on Hair Radio about this. This went on, and it just made huge news. It was just, you couldn't believe what your eyes were
showing. Yes, watching it unfold, a lot of people had that same kind of surreal thing and question. It's like, where are the National Guards? Where's our helpers? Is that our capital under attack? And is this for real? And what, you know, all those questions. But it was real.
It was real. You hit it on the head. And but if the occurrence, if you guys recall out there, it was not so much a surprise. You could tell the way it appeared that the former president and all those folks were kind of, you know, allegedly what it seemed to be was that they were kind of goading these folks on. And unless if you're going to hide and hide it and, you know, be in denial, but it was very clear that these folks were under the impression that they were going to meet Donald Trump at the Capitol building. And so this whole thing where they were there and he was not, and they began to, you know, it was unruly. Thank the Lord that, you know, sadly we had folks who've lost their lives, a few of them tied into this. But it could have been so much worse. It could have been worse because these folks were under the impression, you know, false impression that, that our politicians, that was the target of all of this vitriol and hate and all this kind of stuff. And so they acted out this, and thank goodness for the efforts of that wonderful black man who was the guard, the police officer who led them in a different direction.
Absolutely.
He led them away from where they were hiding. And that
they were
saved
so
their lives.
Intent. Yes, they were so intent with their hate. You could even see the pause. It's like, well, we're supposed to go in the other direction. But they were so intent on, you know. lynching the person that they followed them anyway, because they were angry and they wanted to. And, you know, also there was no thought that they would ever have to be held accountable or, you know, accept responsibility for some really bad things.
Right. And we didn't even get to that part, but that's absolutely right. The thing is, what I was going to say about that, yes, when the officer was leading them away into the opposite direction, it didn't occur to them once that they were going in the wrong direction and that that was a ploy by the officer so that they wouldn't.
Oh,
would
I
not,
think they
you know,
did,
the
because if you look at
mob.
That, look at that footage again, because there was just a second pause of the one who was like right behind the officer who looked in the other direction, like we're supposed to go that way. But he, again, that hate drove him to, like, follow this officer so they could, you know, cause him harm. And, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. I think that that could be the case. I'm not disagreeing with that. My thing is that, like you say, I totally agree. I think they were so hate-filled that they could not think clearly and their judgment and all of that. So that officer, he literally had them to follow him, and he led all of them, like and literally like it was the Pied Piper, away from those. Now, this is why that is so significant for you guys out there, in case you probably didn't realize this. But had those folks, remember Mike Pence was there, there in that room, all those, because if you recall, the president had seemingly been pressuring Mike Pence to overturn, to not accept the results. That was the key. Mm-hmm. And so Mike Pence had to really go and not accept and do the right thing, which is to follow the Constitution. And Mike Pence did not have the authority to really overturn anything. So, But apparently, you know, Trump did not want him to even acknowledge, you know, the results, which would have thrown things in chaos. And that's all that what it seemed to me is that the former administration was just trying to throw things in chaos. And had those folks who were going to open up and destroy all of that by storming the Capitol, had they been able to get away with it and got awful, you know, thank God no harm was
we
due.
We might
Nancy
be in,
Pelosi,
I mean,
it'd
be equivalent, absolutely,
not,
it'd be equivalent
might,
to being in any dictatorship country, yes.
Well, not might and could have, would have. We absolutely would have been a subject to a lengthier former administration. So Donald Trump would have still been able to, there wouldn't have been an election for, you know, Biden coming in. This is what is amazing that, that in my opinion, and I'm speaking myself, that if this man, if Mr., you know, the former administration, let's just say that, had gotten away, so to speak, with really getting these folks riled up so much that they would have caused that, our world would be very different right now. And that, it just seemed to me that some people don't care at what, at the lives that would have been lost. They're so selfish in their goals and, you know, what they're trying to get, you know, just have their own way, no matter how illegal and how awful and immoral, they didn't care because
people,
what would have happened, they would have remained in power.
Yes, people want to believe what they want to believe. They can't put it on anybody in the end but themselves. And it's unfortunate, but the good thing is they didn't overthrow the government that time. They didn't take over democracy, and people need to appreciate what, even if it's not perfect, what this family is and or can be. Trust, if you travel at all, you see some things, and you're like, well, America's not perfect, but it sure could be. And thank goodness it's not, but we still are
Absolutely.
Not done yet. And by the way, even if you have a wonderful life and, you know, no harmful stains going on, it doesn't mean it'll stay that way. So you always have to be aware, and you always want to do whatever you can do, whoever you can influence, to bring about positive change, or at least increase awareness of some positive standard there. And my thoughts might be different, but, you know, I think you can look at certain regimes and know that they're not good for women, or certain regimes and know that they don't like anybody who is not like them. And that's unhealthy at any level.
Absolutely. Well, that has all been exacerbated by, again, a culture. We have begun to accept this whole, you know, rage that seems to be building out here in America, and it's been going on for hundreds of years. Well, let me tell you, looking back at 2021, folks, if you're just kind of tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, if you're just joining us, I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line is Mary Reed Johnson. You guys know her of Hair Head Heart. And we're taking a good look back at 2021. We're also looking ahead at 2022, some of the biggest stories that happened in this past year and why it's so important for us to take this look. I do it every year, Mary. As you guys know, I'm out there. We take a look back because it allows us things in the right perspective. We can kind of, you know, look forward and kind of know exactly what action we need to take and all that wonderful stuff. You know, that's how I kind of do it. Do you have a ritual that you do at the end and the beginning of each year?
Well, I think I've been reviewing just things more often than I typically do. And that's not a bad thing. And so I'm embracing change. Yeah, I'm embracing change. I'm always encouraging just people, myself and people around me, to stretch. And if you've never stretched, or you've always been putting off things, or you think you don't have enough money or enough this, I would say poppycock. This is the best time ever, best opportunities we've had in, you know, 1,000 years, whatever, to stretch. So I'd say make sure right now stretch. As far as traditions for my family, we are pretty diverse as far as what we like, but, you know, our bonds are very strong. And so that, you know, continues. I have 2 grown daughters, and each is amazing, fabulous, and, you know, very successful in their own right. So, you know, encouraging them to keep growing, and I'm going to keep growing even at this age. You can never stop, especially with the new opportunities that are presenting themselves. So if you get that extra stimulus check or that extra little piece of cash, do something with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I want to kind of jump in on as well. Speaking of 2021 and at the beginning of 2021, and there was that whole stimulus check, which I think would have been about the second payment, if I'm not mistaken. So, and I think $600 was issued out, if I recall correctly. I don't remember how much it was, Mary.
Because there were different amounts for different categories. About $300 each month, and that
but
is
it was
ongoing.
Never enough, though. No, but
well,
I think
better than nothing. These people, I mean, the moratorium that they had on housing, that was helpful. The $1,500 or $1,200 to help you, you know, kind of get through whatever until unemployment kicked in, helpful. For some people who are gig workers or contract workers, we weren't even in categories that had been monitored enough that we would get unemployment, right? So all that CARES Act stuff, was really helpful. Some small businesses, and unfortunately not a big businesses who already had a lot of money, were able to get stipends to help them through. And so it was really a holistic approach to keeping us afloat as a country. So I
yeah,
will say that they...
I agree with you in theory, but when I look back and I remember this, I think what the whole thing was is that the payments and the way that they had divvied it up, yes, the money, no one's going to say money's not helpful. It is, and it's always on time whenever it does arise. Thing is, I think it certainly was not enough, period. It was not enough money.
Oh, it's never enough.
I don't know. Right. Well, I was about to say, I don't know anybody who would think that it actually was perfect and enough money for us. In fact, I seem even to remember one of the politicians when I think they gave us out, because they sent me money, I took it. But I think I think one of them was like, it was so low, and we had already been in the pandemic at that point for like 10 months or something. And I mean,
okay, think of your whole life. When have they ever given you money? Period.
Well, no, I understand and I totally agree with you. But the mm-hmm. issue here is that you got to remember folks were unable to work. They wanted to encourage you to stay home. Other countries took the approach to give you, because if they gave you the money on a regular basis and give you money each month, you would have been more inclined to stay home, which would have cut down on the transmission potentiality, and it would have ultimately had a benefit to everybody's health. But they didn't look at it that way per se. So the little bit of money they were looking at, the reason that the money was issued, if you recall, was a stimulation to the economy.
Right.
Those
are
the words
the individual
that they were talking about.
Know.
It wasn't about
yeah.
trying to, in my opinion, trying to really say, oh, we need to do this to, you know, keep everybody going and da-da-da-da-da. It was more
economy,
so about stimulation of the economy.
Yeah, it absolutely was. But the thing is, we are the economy. We pay the taxes. We do this. We do that.
Right,
and if we
right.
can't move, then they...
Yeah, I...
So that's really...
Good point, Mary. Now, what about the vaccines? And I want to talk about this because then it was we started fighting about everything. Thank you, former administration in the White House, because what you have done is to make us look at our differences. We began to only focus on the differences. Don't get me wrong. The differences have always been there since the beginning mm-hmm. of time. But it wasn't the sole focus. And because of that, again, that word exacerbate, it has exacerbated everything. So when mm-hmm. I look back, yes, we got the stimulus monies. Those funds helped. They need to send another round, if you ask me, but that's my opinion. The vaccines were all over the news. Then we began fighting about the darn vaccines. And I remember because quite a few folks were reluctant about taking the vaccine, getting the approval of the vaccines, and where mm-hmm. do we stand now with the vaccines? And there are folks who now in certain cities and states where you can't even go into a restaurant and eat and sit down and eat without being fully vaccinated. And you have to provide proof or you will not be able to do that. So what do you say, Mary Reed Johnson? And I'll tell you what is going on out here in New York City. Now, Mary's out in the Minnesota area generally. So what do you say, Mary?
Oh, I think it's messy by design.
Yes.
So people have to just be logical. I mean, that might be asking too much, but people want to believe what they want to believe. They want to do what they want to do. But there are certain things called repercussions on your actions.
Right.
And then your actions are not necessarily individual, they are linked to certain things. So, for example, when people were dying with Philip Morris and the cigarette smoking and everything, yeah, it was cool, it was popular, blah, 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 but they realized that smokers were infecting other people. Secondhand smoke was killing more people than the people who were actually doing the smoking. So it's, you know, that kind of scenario.
Well, I wouldn't say it was killing more than, but it certainly showed that. Well, listen, it goes deeper than that as well, because there was all kind of things that have been there's a whole bunch. It goes so deep. That really is very interesting.
Yeah, public health concerns are just that, public health concerns. People didn't used to want to wear seatbelts. People don't want to text and drive. But these are problems. And the individual, I mean, they are as responsible as, you know, one person to the next person. So, we just have to get there. And so
I agree. Well, good way to look at it, Mary. Yes, I agree. Now, I'll say on the vaccine front, and I myself was a bit reluctant at first because, you know, there's a lot of talk surrounding that people are still reluctant, even as we, you know, go to air at this time. There are folks who are reluctant to get the vaccine. See, my thing is this. There are folks, I understand the reluctancy of folks in this country. The interesting part is that there are folks who are reluctant for different reasons. There are lots of reluctancy. Almost all of us have different reasons for being a bit reluctant. Now, I have to say, I went ahead and got my vaccination. So when I do events and things like that we'll talk about, I wanted to make sure that I was in good health to do so and to make sure that I was keeping myself safe and the folks around me. So I went ahead, and I believe in science. That wasn't the reason for my reluctancy. My reluctancy is because of the awful history we have in this country as folks of color and being used for all kinds of, tests and this and that and being in, experiment's a better word, and being infected and all of these things that you're supposed to just pretend didn't happen. And when someone says to me, if they, you know, the folks who did these things say, listen, the sky is blue, I would literally open up my window and look out to make sure. I totally understand that. Yes, Mary,
absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Along those lines, Carrie. Think about, so the number 45 who was saying, oh, you don't need this and drink some bleach and, you know, whatever. He didn't drink bleach when he got COVID, right?
No.
He went to the
and
medical
I remember
facility
that. Do you that's right. Do you remember when
so
he
like,
was
it's
standing
good for me
up there?
You all don't need it.
Right. Well, I remember the news conference where he was standing up there. And his doctor, one of the supposed physician, you know, she was in the background sitting down. And when he said, they showed her face when he mentioned about the bleach, he said later that he was just kidding. In fairness, we'll say he said he was just kidding. But she was in total consternation. She was like in shock that those words came out of his mouth. She later said this, so it's not like we're putting words in anybody's mouth. She released, I believe she did a book and she talked about it later. But let me tell you, just very interesting. Now, as far as the vaccines go, I believe that we have definitely turned a big point, a corner with all of this. And in 2022, this, I believe that they're going to pretty much put this to bed. So I'm grateful of that. I think this this whole pandemic thing seemed to, has lasted so much longer than we had thought. You know, we just, like the former administration said, it'll just one day disappear. You know, you wake up and poof. And so that was the thinking that they had. And so we've come a long way with folks, you know, getting these vaccines. Right now, there's still the three major vaccines. They're now coming out with all kinds of pills and things to ward off serious infection and so much more. And they have children things and all this kind of stuff. So we're definitely turning the corner with the vaccines. Now, speaking of which, Mary, you mentioned something right before we went on air today, and that is talking about the hair and beauty industry. We have to work in them in this conversation. We really do. So, you know, just to kind of go back a bit for folks who are just tuning in, I'm Carrie Hines. I'm with Mary Reed Johnson, and today we're taking a look back at 2021. It's our annual year-end review on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And just to kind of, if you're really just joining us, you might have missed our lead-in this morning. We kicked off with the amazing singer that we actually lost this year. And it was a wonderful, wonderful song called A Lovely Day. And Bill Withers is the artist. And just how could you not just have fond thoughts and memories, Mary Reed Johnson, with A Lovely Day kicking off this whole episode. And we're going to be playing
that
some of the music from
choice.
Some of the folks that we lost. Was that not? Now, just to take a moment, because you guys know we're going to be getting in and out and talking about this. Almost everything that we talk about has been traced back or can be tracked back to a pandemic in some way. So there's a lot to get into, and we're going to get in and delve on in. But the hair salons, this was one subject that I was able to really delve into on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And the one thing I have to say, and even before we get into that part, Mary, it was with the pandemic, there were lots of pluses and benefits, if you will, even though this was a very negative, sad story overall. But there were some wonderful things that were born out of this. Did you have any positive experiences that came out of the pandemic, Mary Reed Johnson?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Again, it was just a wonderful time to reflect. Even when the shops closed and reopened and closed again, even for me deciding who really was a worthwhile client, you know, this type of thing. Fortunately for me, most of them were very loyal and, you know, encouraging and, you know, this type of thing. It was nice to have the industry recognized as an industry and I mean, literally, the gig workers and the contract workers, that is the bulk of the industry. I don't know if it's 62 or 82%, but of the bulk. And so having them look big picture and what they might need or want. I had gap insurance when this first happened, and the gap insurance was anything ever happened. You know, if I couldn't perform whatever way or whatever reason, my gap insurance, in addition to the other things I had, was supposed to kick in. It did not. So exposed a lot of problems with the insurance industry and coverages and, you know, that type of thing. Not just me, but just worldwide.
That's amazing.
And so I think that's positive, because anytime you learn from an experience, that's a good thing. So choosing where you want to practice, how you want to practice, expanding your practice, offering classes on, you know, these types of things were not necessary before, but once it became an option, or you were aware of the option, you explored it, and I think it bodes well for the industry. Just so, well, I mean, there's a lot. And so,
yeah, there is. Yeah.
It starts. Well, yeah. Just to start to unpack some of those things is important.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you, Mary. Now, for me and the Hair Radio Morning Show, there was a huge boon in the broadcasting for me. And I could tell you quite personally, during the height of the pandemic, when things were shut down, and here in New York City, it was a virtual ghost town. Nothing was moving. The trains had stopped. People were walking. There was just nothing going on and everybody was in the house by like 8 or 9 o'clock. As soon as night fell, that was it. You were definitely not outside. And so I remember this. And what was absolutely amazing to me is that because you were home, there were things that we didn't anticipate a few years back, and that would be that folks were looking for things to do inside their homes. They, you know, they didn't even know who some of their spouses were because they had never gotten to spend that much time with them. They had to be reminded of their kids' names. You know,
oh my goodness.
They had not.
May I share with you one of
absolutely.
The comedians named Jim Gaffigan? He has five
yes,
children.
Yes, I know who Jim
he
is.
Talk
he's
about
on,
him.
Yeah, he's on 60 Minutes, I
on
think.
CBS
he was on
CBS Sunday Morning and just kind of
right.
everywhere. But he yeah. made a big thing of, like, discovering these five children and realizing that they were there to stay and that he would have to interact
I
with them.
You know, I actually saw that, yes. I'm a fan of his, so I saw that. Yeah, you're right. He was on CBS, Sunday CBS Morning News and 60 Minutes and all that stuff on CBS. But, yeah, we had
forever,
to become
forever,
familiarized.
Ever?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I love that. We had to become refamiliarized with a lot of that. And as such, for us at Hair Radio, folks were discovering the broadcast. So we have a lot of listeners from all
Yay.
Over the world, and we welcome you. We love you. We thank you for being a part of our experience. But we were able to be introduced to a lot of folks because of the pandemic that we probably wouldn't have had a chance to meet so soon. So we are grateful on that level for being able to do that. And speaking of the Hair Radio Morning Show, we had a lot of folks who literally joined us in 2021 for the very first time and got to be part, thrust right in the middle of some of the biggest news stories about hair and beauty in the world. And so we're going to talk about that. And I've got to first say, like some of those hair salons that were open, were closed for a little bit, some states, depending on where you were almost like they didn't close at all. I think if I recall correctly, Georgia had pretty much opened right back up. Maybe 2 weeks if you want to say close. I think they gave it a week or two. The pandemic to come and go. And then they were right back open. Georgia
like,
was
I
one of the
money.
First states. Georgia, did. They were like, we are opening back up, honey. You're going to have to mask up. But we don't really care what you do, but we're opening back up. And I'm just exaggerating a bit. But let me tell you, I think one of the interesting interviews that we did was with the folks at Barbicide. The folks at Barbicide. So we had, Mary, I want to get this lady on. Her name is Nurse Leslie, and she talked to us at that time. Again, this was during the pandemic. We have it firsthand. And then we're going to get to the biggest news story, the very biggest news story, in one of the biggest news stories in the country, if not the world, but particularly in our industry. And we'll tell you what that is.
Oh, let me guess.
In the show. Oh, no, not yet. We're gonna tease it for just a tad or two. As we move into the next hour on our look back at 2021, I'm Carrie Hines with Mary Reed Johnson. We're going to have you guys to stay with us. And then as we come back, we're going to delve on in with Nurse Leslie of Barbicide and kind of give us a little bit. It'll help us to kind of understand when we're listening to this cast, this replay with Nurse Leslie of where we were at that time. And then, like I said, we've got some big things to touch on in this look back. So I'm super excited. So we want you guys to stay with us. We'll take a little bit of a commercial break as we move into the next hour. And again, I'm so grateful to have you with us. So stay tuned. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the show.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
It's my honor, my absolute honor, to welcome Nurse Leslie Rosti to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Leslie, Nurse Leslie, we're going to call you this morning. You're on the Hair Radio Morning Show with LaSonya Nicole and me, Carrie Hines. How are you? How are you, Nurse
I'm
Leslie?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm very honored to be on your show. So
good morning. We're honored to have you.
I was looking at you guys before I got on, and you guys have a great thing going here, so I'm happy to be part of it.
Ah, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Listen, we've got to, I'm going to kill the background music here because we've got to jump right on in. There's so much going on these days. And, you know, Leslie, just tell us a little bit about Barbicide. Now, you're the ED, you're the education director for Barbicide. And this is, you know, known everywhere. Everybody knows Barbicide. But can you just, you know, for those few who may not be as familiar, what can you tell us about Barbicide and its importance right now?
So I came to Barbicide, I came to the company King Research that manufactures Barbicide about 11 years ago. As you already referenced, I'm a nurse, and came to the company not really sure what my message would be to this industry. And for the last 11 years, I have been out saying, you know, something like this is going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to happen. We've got to be prepared. And maybe some of your listeners have heard me at conventions or read from the textbooks that I've written for, or I may have come into some of your schools and taught classes to your students. And I've been preaching that, you know, we really need to be on top of our game when it comes to infection control. And it's unfortunate, something like COVID-19, to really get everyone to pay attention and to even have the consumer understand it almost as well as most of our licensees do this, the difference between cleaning and disinfection, the importance of properly disinfecting things, even things like PPE. You know, if I said that to any consumer 6 months ago, they wouldn't have understood it, but they do today.
Exactly.
And so Barbicide, as the leading product in this industry that was really designed for the professional beauty industry as a disinfectant, in 1947, which is kind of shocking to me that the formula hasn't changed since 1947, and we've been effective against literally everything that has come. When HIV came, yes, we were effective against it. You know, and here we are with COVID-19, and yes, we're effective against it. So it's kind of amazing that a product designed in Brooklyn in 1947.
Brooklyn, of course, the best thing to come out of Brooklyn, let me just say that.
You know, and today it's manufactured in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, of all places, but, you know, Barbicide is important because Barbicide was designed for this industry. When you talk about disinfectants, not all disinfectants are created the same. One of the things we're constantly being aware of is the fact that all of you have, for example, expensive shears, expensive equipment that you've purchased that you don't want it to get ruined. So we're, as a company, we walk that line for you of disinfecting properly, but also allowing you to keep your, you know, nice, good equipment, your sharp shears, all of those things in good condition. So things like putting in rust inhibitors that you wouldn't find, for example, in bleach. So it is an important product in this industry right now. So now I will say this, we have been selling into healthcare, into hospitals. So about we sold into hospitals for a couple weeks, sort of in the interim when everybody shut down and we were still making product. I feel proud to say that as a nurse that we did sell into healthcare for a while. But we will be ready when everybody's ready to go back to work. We're ready to, you know, to provide you with product.
Wonderful. Now, I've got to say, you also, the Barbicide, I happen to be on social media like all of our fans and show followers, and I saw the certification information on Barbicide.
Right.
Can you tell our listeners about that?
So So about probably 7 years ago, I had an idea that I was going out to all of these schools, and I realized that for every school I could get to and do a presentation, there were 10 that wanted me to come, and I couldn't get there. So we developed this Barbicide certification originally for the schools, and it's free of charge. It takes about 40 minutes. You've probably done it. Maybe it doesn't even take that long.
Yeah.
But it's really basic information. You know, one of the things I try to go out and remind when I go to a state government and try to help them revise their rules, or when I go and train instructors in a state, when I go and speak to a big audience, I try to remind people this isn't rocket science. It's actually pretty simple. And I think some of the rules of some of our states and some of our textbooks even have made it more complicated than it needs to be. It's a pretty simple process to make your service as safe as possible. Using the right products and doing it correctly is really actually simple. So the Barbicide certification is that simple knowledge that you need to do everything as safely as you can. And, yes, it was designed for students who are going through school, but what I've discovered through all of this is that it's a really good refresher for somebody. You know, maybe you got out of school 20 years ago, and you just want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. You know, now things are so scary, you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. So going back and taking this 40-minute class, it's free of charge. You get to print a certificate at the end of it that, you know, people are posting, hanging their certificates up and framing their certificates and all kinds of things. Because here's the other thing. You need a refresher, but you need to let your clients know that you did a refresher. Because afraid as you might be to go back to work, your clients are really afraid to come back into the barbershop or the salon. They are nervous. And so anything you can do to make them feel better about what you're doing and having a certificate posted says, I did this thing. I went and got this little extra reminder of, you know, what I already maybe already knew.
Now, Nurse Leslie, let me just, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines with my co-star and co-host, LaSonya Nicole, and our very special guest that you're listening to is Nurse Leslie. Now, she's the ED, the Education Director for Barbicide, and we're so excited to have you on with us, talking about so many important things right now. I have to say, in preparation for the interview today, Nurse Leslie, we had a brief conversation. I really want you to kind of bring this point home about the disproportionate number of cases with regards to minorities and men of color. Can you just kind of share some of those stats and some of the information you were kind of introducing me to, which I found fascinating?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise to anyone, because if you live in a community of color, you've heard it already, right? You've heard in your community that, first off, men in general are way more susceptible to dying from this than women, you know, across any type of ethnic group. But then when we start talking about men of color, that number skyrockets. And part of the reason for that, and the main reason from a nursing perspective I can tell you for that, is that color and traditionally are not the best, I will say this, about going to a doctor, let's say, for a regular checkup. Most of the time I go to the doctor when I'm sick. And the problem with that approach to healthcare is that the two things that make somebody the most susceptible to this disease are hypertension or high blood pressure and diabetes, both of which have very, very silent symptoms. You know, you often hear them called the silent killer because your symptoms are so mild, you don't even feel them. So if you are that man and you're having symptoms that you're not even recognizing as making you potentially diabetic or hypertensive, and you now get COVID-19, your likelihood of dying is much, much higher. So it's not because you're of color. It's not because of a community that you live in. It's because you have an underlying condition that you didn't know you had. That's really the generalized theory of why it's hitting disproportionately in those particular communities. Now, I will say that's also increased if you live in a community where people live very close together. It's why New York City is having such a problem. I have a son that lives in New York City, and, you know, everybody lives on top of each other, literally on top of each other.
Literally, that's right.
So anytime, you know, it's hard to socially distance when everybody lives so close together. It's why in the middle of the country, in the Midwest, I live in the Midwest, you don't see as many numbers. We don't live close together. We all, you know, we keep our distance from each other. That's how our normal lifestyle is. So you will see those numbers go down also or up disproportionately depending on how you live. So.
Wow. Well, I tell you, this is really just information that you can't really find out there so much, like with this particular discussion point, and I love this. Nurse Leslie, can you talk a little bit? One of the biggest reasons for having you on the show today is that when you turn on the news, you hear that the salons, well, first of all, you hear that the states are about to kind of open back up and start rolling out a way to kind of bring the country back up, if you will, economically speaking at least.
Right.
So they're trying to reopen the shops, reopen the states, reopen, get back to some sense of normalcy, if you will, some sense.
Yep.
So this is a real part of the conversation. The salons, the barbershops that are out there, what are your thoughts? And let me just also say this, Nurse Leslie. The governors around our country are calling you. They're calling you. They're consulting with you. Talk a little bit about that, and what kind of a plan do you think we need to take to consider? Yes, they're calling you. You're the go-to.
I'm only laughing because I think everybody has a misconception, perhaps, that there is some master plan that's going on. And I will tell you, the states are trying diligently to get a plan together, but you know, no one's ever been here before. Like, we've never been in this space before. And there would not have been a way to have planned for this. I mean, we can get as mad as we want about whatever did or didn't happen up till today, but no one's ever been in this position of having to create a guideline for literally reopening their entire economy. Who goes first? Does a restaurant open first? Does a barbershop open first? What order do we open things in? And when we open them, what are the guidelines that we can put in place? And some states are restrained by the fact that to even put a temporary rule in place, they have to have legislation. So some states can only give guidelines for when you reopen, and some states can actually make temporary rules. So depending what state you're in, particularly as a barber or a stylist, you may have some temporary rules in place, but you may just have temporary guidelines. And one of the things I've been talking with governors about, with governor's offices, I should say, when they call and ask for my recommendations, I had a governor's office ask me the other day, they said, if you could make one temporary rule, what would it be? And I said, the one temporary rule I would make, which barbers may ruffle their feathers a little bit about, but hear me out, is that I think that all services in this industry, at least in the short term, should be scheduled. They should not allow walk-ins anymore. And the reason for that is that, remember, no one's had a haircut, legally at least, for the last 3 months in most states, right? And
right.
So the first day that you open up, what we do not want is 50 people standing in your waiting area, shoulder to shoulder, waiting for their turn to get their haircut. First off, that's a problem. Secondly, if that pressure is on you, as let's say the barber or the stylist, to turn that chair so quickly, you are not taking the time to properly disinfect in between each client, as was already the rule in your state, but is really important now. And I have been referencing what happened in South Dakota. If you don't watch the news, you may not have heard this, but South Dakota, they had less than 100 cases in the entire state. And one sick worker who had no symptoms, none at all, went to work at a Smithfield pork processing plant.
Oh, yes,
and now
yes,
400
yes.
people, 400 people, within a few days not have COVID-19
wow.
in South Dakota, of all places, right? So I think we need to look at those examples and say, people with no symptoms do carry this and do pass it on. I had a governor's office yesterday call me, and what they wanted to do was buy thermometers, the ones you scan someone's forehead with, and make every barbershop and every stylist use that. And my whole point kind of dumb. Because if you have a fever, you're already sick, right? I can just ask you if you feel feverish. I mean, you already have a fever. I'm not worried about that person. That person can acknowledge to me that they're sick. It's the person that has no symptoms, that's walking in, thinks they're fine, and might be spreading it that I'm worried about. So I do think that there are some things that are going to go into place that may make sense, some things that won't. I'm not a big fan of, for example, gloves, making people wear gloves. I'm a fan of hand
gloves.
And I think that gloves become a problem because if you are not somebody who, as a profession, wears your gloves on, you know, I'm as a nurse, if I walked into your room and I already had my gloves on, you would look at me like, what are you doing? You know, you would expect me to walk in with my hands and clean, wash my hands in the sink and then put on gloves before I touch you, because I could have been out touching everybody else with the same pair of gloves on. You have no way of knowing. And gloves will be in short supply. And I have a feeling what we'll see is people will put on one pair of gloves and wear them all day long, which is worse than not wearing gloves at all and just washing.
Wow.
In my opinion, hand washing is what we need to get in the habit of. You know, barbers typically have a sink right next to their chair. Why wouldn't you, in front of your consumer, wash your hands before you start a service? So you don't even have to say anything. You're demonstrating I'm doing the right thing. If you, at the end of a service, when you're done with your clippers, for example, you, where your consumer is still sitting there, your client's still sitting in the chair, you take your clippers, you get the hair out of them over the trash can, and you make a spray of, let's say, clipperside right over the clippers,
That's right.
You say to your customer, I'm getting this ready for the next client. And what you're telling them is, I did this before you sat down. I disinfected these clippers before you got in my chair. And those are all of the things that I think you can do to make somebody feel more secure. But the question was reopening. I don't know the answer to that. People are asking for guidelines. My best guess is we will see some states, particularly in the middle of the country, the Midwest, start to reopen around the first part of May. I live in Kansas City. We just got another stay-at-home order until May 15th. So I don't know, you know, where that will go in each individual city or state. But I think by the end of May, we will probably see most states reopening, and it will go into barbershops and salons, and people just need to be, you know, ready to do that. You've got all the time to get prepared, so.
And ready for just about any kind of scenario is my point. We don't know what's going to happen, right, Nurse Leslie? So I'm definitely a believer that now that this has happened, and as you have pointed out at the top of the interview, that this has been something that you had a good feeling was going to happen, sadly, and it has come to fruition, and it's our reality. And, hey, I've got to turn it over to my co-star, Lasonya Nicole. I know you are chomping at the bit, and you have some questions for Nurse Leslie. You go ahead, jump on in. Wow.
You know, it was really, you know, we were talking earlier about the whole walk-in process. So just to listen to, you know, her feedback with the walk-ins,
yes,
as far as highly suggesting that no salon take walk-ins at this point in time was just very, very informative. And even with the way that, you know, she came about, and, you know, it comes down to that time essence or issue. Do you think, Nurse Leslie, that salons can ever go back to, you know, the, you know, prior to February of 2020, you know, format where, you know, there isn't, you know, where you can come to a point of taking walk-ins and having that full salon again? Or is it, you know, traditional salon beauty
forever
business as normal? Is it kind of out the window, or do you think that we can actually return to that?
You know, I'm not sure on that question, because I think that there will be things that will indelibly change in our lives. I think that handshakes will go away. I'm not a fan of handshakes. If you've ever heard me speak, I say I would rather kiss someone than shake their hand, because it's not, you know, you don't put your lips where you put your hands, and so, but my husband prefers that I didn't do either, so I just don't do
things
will indelibly change. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I was telling Carrie when I spoke to him the other day, just a very simple conversation I had with my own husband. And I asked him, what do you think it's going to be like when you go back to get your hair cut the first time? And he thought about it for a second. And I said, what do you expect it to be like? And he said, well, I expect them to be wearing a mask. And I said, what if they don't? And he said, well, I'll get my hair cut, but I probably won't come back. And I think what we're going to see happening is that what the state is requiring of you in terms of how you manage your clients, how you manage your health and public safety, your infection control, that is going to be a minimum standard. But I think the consumer now is so much more aware of their surroundings, of how something should be, what it should look like, that that's going to drive you to do things differently. I think if your consumer says to you, I'm not comfortable sitting in a waiting room with 20 people, or I want you to disinfect that station before I come sit in that chair.
And I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Terry Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Terry Hines. It is Thursday morning, November 11th of 2021. It's our show number 630. And I have with me a very special guest as we're celebrating America's heroes, our veterans, on Veterans Day. And who else could we bring to the line but the one and only Michael Hopkins, the host of Vet Talk Radio Show, that airs right here on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Good morning, Michael Hopkins, and happy Veterans Day.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yes, it is. It is a very happy Veterans Day.
Well, we are so honored to have you, and we salute you, sir, and all of our veterans who are the listeners of the popular now Vet Talk Radio Show, as well as our listeners, of course, through the Hair Radio Morning Show and the network. Now, I also want to say that, you know, we're taking a moment in between looking back at the biggest stories of 2021. And I have to say, this is a good reason to kind of just insert ourselves into the broadcast this morning. We want to recognize the contribution of the vets, the veterans, from all over America, from across the land. So, Michael, first, let's lead off with this. You are the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show, as I mentioned in the lead-in with this. What can you say about Veterans Day? What can you tell us about Veterans Day?
Wow, Veterans Day, it is not like, say, Memorial Day or it's not the same. Just like during the month of May, you have Memorial Day.
Right.
And you also have pretty much an open house for military bases and so forth. But
everybody gets Memorial Day and Veterans Day all mixed up. So what is the difference?
Well, the difference is Veterans Day started out as Armistice Day.
Yeah.
And that was during World War One. And
wow.
It was during the 11th hour of the 11th month of the 11th day. And basically what that meant was the hostilities of the trench war of World War One and the shelling and the gassing of people, all of that ceased during the 11th month of the 11th hour of the 11th day. And once it ceased, after the hostilities were over and everybody went home back to their own worlds and so forth, and the treaties were all settled, a lot of the veterans wanted to have Armistice Day as a permanent holiday. That's how Armistice Day came about. Well,
amazing.
After World War II, it was 1947, and a gentleman, he was a World War II veteran, and he wanted to honor veterans. And that's where the first parade started to come in. It was in the Midwest, and those were some of the first parades, the first acknowledgement of veterans and so forth.
And it just kind of grew from there.
Yeah, amazing. Around 1953-54 was right after the Korean War. That's when President Truman, Harry S. Truman, was the president at that time. They made it official that there was a Veterans Day. And it's
now, Michael,
been there since.
I'm just blown away by this information about Veterans Day. Now, we do want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing contribution of folks all over America, including yourself as a veteran. So what can you tell us, you know, what would you like to say to the veterans? And also tell, you know, after you do that, you know, just fill us in a little bit about what Vet Talk Radio Show is all about.
Well, for the veterans, Carrie, and I know everybody says the traditional thank you for your service and all of that, but I'm just going to take it a step further. To all my veteran brothers and sisters, and somebody summed it up for me the other day. I was talking to a vet. We are a fraternity and a sorority. The DD-214 that we get, and that's when we are discharged from the military, that they said that you served your country honorably, that never runs out. It never runs out. We're always going to be a veteran. We're always going to be a person that served in the military. We're always going to have it in our heart, and we're always going to acknowledge another veteran.
Amazing.
Always going to be that way. It doesn't matter what era of service that you were in. I have guys that come up to me that are Vietnam vets. I have some of them that are Korean War veterans. Some of them are even
amazing
World War II veterans that they come up to me. And that's what's going to happen today, Carrie. All the people that are veterans, we're going to be gathering in places. They're going to be ceremonies, you know, some somber. There's going to be all kinds of things going on.
And we're going to continue to honor those veterans throughout this broadcast today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, Michael Hopkins, what can you tell us about Vet Talk Radio Show? When folks tune in, long after Veterans Day is over, there's Vet Talk Radio Show on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 right here on our broadcast. What can you tell us about your show?
Well, what I can tell everyone is that Vet Talk Radio is a format, it's a platform to help veterans. That's what Vet Talk Radio is all about. It's to give a voice to the veteran community, so that people begin to understand what we are like as veterans. You know, we're not the scary person, or we're not, that's not who we are as veterans. We honorably served our country, and a lot of us have issues, problems. We have things just like everybody else, only a lot of times it's exasperated because of your military service. And it's just, that's what I love about the show.
Well,
you're
helping veterans to navigate through their issues and concerns, things that the regular civilians, we might miss out here. So, Michael Hopkins, I want to take a moment to just say thank you so very much for being the host of Vet Talk Radio Show. Again, your program airs right here on through the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, Tuesday mornings, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central Time. Also, just a reminder that you can Google on the Internet for a Vet Talk Radio Show. We have a special two-hour broadcast that's out there. We have some things on Spotify about Vet Talk Radio Show. You can hear a whole lot more of Michael when you do that and his amazing angels, again, shouting out everybody. Michael Hopkins, we salute you. We salute the veterans on this Veterans Day. So thank you for getting up and giving us a live intro this morning to recognize our veterans on Veterans Day. Thank you, Michael Hopkins.
You're quite welcome. It's all about the vets.
All about the vets. On that note, folks, stay with us. We are going to get back to this amazing look back at the biggest stories, really, of 2021. I'm Carrie Hines. There's a whole lot more to go this morning, so stay tuned. We've got a lot to get on, so thanks so much for being with us. And here we go.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Live this morning, and it's very important that we get this on out on this broadcast. As you guys, if you're just joining us, you might have missed it. It was a replay of an interview that we did with Nurse Leslie, who is the ED in the hair and beauty business. We call that the educational director. We're going to be fancy. She's the ED of Barbicide. Barbicide is that blue liquid for you barbers and folks who go into these hair shops that they use as a disinfectant. You guys have seen Barbicide. So what did you think, Mary Reed Johnson? Did you have a chance to hear the wonderful piece with Nurse Leslie?
Of course. Well, Nurse Leslie was filled with good practical solutions to how we can move forward with our practices, and anything involving safety is okay with me.
Absolutely. Now, Mary, I want to just remind the folks, and we're going to get into a lot more memories of 2021, but let's take a look at who Mary Reed Johnson is of Hair Head Heart. And I want to, I'm so overjoyed because, Mary, we go way back. And you were kind enough to extend your platform to me, Carrie Hines, for one of my rare interviews that I do on other platforms. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, a lot of our eagle-eared listeners may recall this. But do you remember when we first got together and you did that great interview, Mary? Do you remember that?
I think they're all great because you are a wealth of information. So I don't know where we started. It's been a while, Carrie.
It's been a long while. This is so true. I just want to say, and I'll tell you this, Mary, you've been with us on many, many occasions. And each year, you know this, but our listeners out there, we do a look back at the year. And so if you're just joining us, you might have missed our first hour. In the first hour, we kind of look back at the beginning of the pandemic. You might not need us to look back at that. It's still kind of with us to a big degree. But I have to say this. In this hour, I want to take a look at some of the folks that we lost in 2021, names that some of you might have forgotten and others that will stay with us forever. But their mark on this planet and most in our community will always remain at the very core of our culture. and pop culture in particular. So I just want to say this, Mary. There were some folks that, you know, every day you turn on the news, you're hearing some of these names, and I was blown away, you know, at some of these names. And even in recent times, as we put together this broadcast, there's some names that have just popped up that are just, you know, it's going to take a lot. So for you guys out there who are tuned in, we have folks listening to this very broadcast. We're going to give you an opportunity to join us on the air and let us know how you made it through the pandemic. Very simple. We want to hear from you on things that you did to get through this very difficult time, because it can help folks out there. So while you're putting together your thoughts, our wonderful fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm turning back to Mary. Mary, let's go through some of the names of 2021 who perished. Well,
it
what about you?
It is a
Did you
giant
have...
list of ancestors.
Yes, absolutely, of ancestors. I love how you put that. Now, who are some of the folks that really jump out at you that, you kind of remember where you were when you heard the news that they were no longer with us? So who are some of the biggest names that you heard in 2021? And then we'll take a look back at each month.
Sure. One of my biggest was Cicely Tyson. She had just written her book. She was on tour. I had seen an interview. She was looking lovely as usual. Actually, she looks very much like my mother, who also passed in this time. But wow.
Very sorry
just,
about that. Wow.
You know, an icon lost. But again, we can pay homage and we can remember them. And remember to do the good things that they would hope that we would do. So be your best self. But she was a big one for me.
The rest of the culture too. Yeah, she was huge for. I think the world literally kind of fell a little bit off its axis at that time. And you say Bill Withers, another one. We opened up the show with his hit "Lovely Day."
Mm-hmm.
Who could not, if you were of a certain generation, you know who Bill Withers is. And even if you're from some of the younger folks out there, you've been influenced by his music without probably even realizing it. He's just an amazing artist out there. Some of the other folks that we lost, Kay Williams, the actor from The Wire TV show, baseball great Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron.
Yes, huge, huge, huge loss. Of course, DMX, rap artist, aficionado. We lost quite a few rap artists this year. So one of the others was, of course, Biz Markie, who had the big hit.
You got what I need.
Thank you so much,
man.
Mary Reed Johnson. Well, you know what? I've got that song queued. So we'll get that song on for everybody and take a little bit of a music break with that in tribute to Biz Markie and all these folks. Now, I have to tell you, quite a bit happened in the year of 2021. Of course, we started the show with a lot that was happening politically, of course, and we have to pay tribute to all of that, and particularly when the administration, the previous administration, their time was over, and here comes Joe Biden. And, of course, you guys know from the end of last year, from the end of 2020, we'll say, where he brought along the amazing vice president making history with choosing the first African-American person of color, first African-American to be in such a high position in the administration.
First female.
She made a whole bunch of firsts.
Yes,
she made a whole bunch
true.
Of firsts. You can check a lot of boxes with Kamala Harris. So we're so honored and so proud, and she's been doing a great job and so much. And we talked a lot, so you guys want to definitely listen back to the first part as well. We talked a lot about the vaccinations and the pandemic and the stimulus checks and the insurrection. I was about to say the resurrection, but the insurrection and all of that, and some of the hair salon talk. And so right now we're kind of doing a look back at some of the folks who kind of, you know, we won't have going into the new year.
May I throw in one that even though he is not African-American, black, any part of that diaspora, and even though he was wrapped up in some things that we would probably consider not positive, Phil Spector had a huge impact on our music community, and he passed this year.
Oh, did Bill? I thought he was still alive. Wow. No, I'm sure you're right. But I'll tell you something. Phil Spector, for you guys out there, a huge producer who influenced music, especially in the early days. He worked with all of the rock and roll legends. And a lot of black artists who were on their way, you know, at the beginning stage of their careers, including Tina Turner, one of my favorites, of course, the Ronettes, and all of those folks, in addition to so many. And you guys know he was, you know, at the end of this time, he was in prison for a whole bunch of things. I think the biggest thing was that you know, with the, you know, I think it, for murder of one of the background singers,
yes,
or something or another,
Google.
It's just,
yes,
unbelievable.
He actually had a long history, and we might want to talk about mental illness later, but I don't know what the cause was, except that he had a long history of pulling guns on people. And, you know, he'd have parties, and, you know, he just thought that was funny and good and whatever. But long story short, actually did commit a murder. And he was eventually sentenced for it and served time. But he was still, you know, if you want to look at musical genius in there, or how he opened up some markets in there, it was part of what he did too. So
you have to look at
the whole person.
Right, you're absolutely right. Now, here are some of the names from January, in case you forgot. Folks like Larry King, a talk show giant. He passed earlier this year as well, in January. We're talking about Hal Holbrook, the actor. He died. Cloris Leachman died January 27th. You know, a lot of these folks, an amazing group. Of course, we lost Cicely Tyson on the 28th of January, as you mentioned. You know, so many folks that it's hard to even imagine. Now, a little bit later, as the pandemic was kind of underway and this huge, you know, with so much illness taking place, and some of these folks, let's just also say this and put this on out there. Not everyone died of COVID. So let's just say that there were quite a few folks who did. You know, so we lost 750,000 folks who have succumbed to this awful, dreadful disease. Folks who also that we lost, you guys remember heavyweight boxer Leon Spinks, actor Christopher Plummer, George Schultz,
oh my.
He passed. Yes, a lot of these folks, Chick Corea, I think the jazz keyboardist. Remember the porn publisher Larry Flint passed away. So these are some of the folks. It's just been a long list, literally. The personality Rush Limbaugh died back in February. So many folks passed on in this year that it's hard to. Marvin Hagler, another boxer, died.
Wow.
Actor Yaphet Kotto, remember him? He passed away. And so it's just, you don't even believe these. George Segal, actress Jessica Walter,
icon.
Who, for you younger folks, I love Jessica Walter. She was known as a great comedic actress in later years. But I think she was in that movie with Clint Eastwood, which really, for the I'll say for a different generation, for folks who were out there before Basic Instinct, it was the Basic Instinct of that day. In fact, I think Basic Instinct was copied after that movie, if you ask me, but that was playlist before me. Jessica Walter turned in a stellar performance, and she will always be remembered. What a great actress she was.
The good news, Carrie, there are many, many still among, you know, with us. And
yes.
So that
well, this
is
true.
It is
now
exciting.
Absolutely. And there's so many folks. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. In May, Olympia Dukakis, Oscar-winning actress Olympia Dukakis, passed away. Yeah, Bobby Unser, I think he was the racing driver. Singer Lloyd Price, remember him? Lloyd Price passed away. So these, you're talking about major names in the world out there who can believe that these folks are not with us right now. It's hard to believe.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just still kind of, you know, just reeling. General Powell, Colin Powell, passed away. So many folks we lost in this year. Actor Ned Beatty, I think we pronounced his name. Yeah, we used to love him. He was all over the place. And so many. Donald Rumsfeld, the political man, the general, well, he was a government official. He passed away. Just so many folks, you can't even begin to name. And, you know, it's just been a big list.
Mr. Lewis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, what we're going to do, in honor of all these folks, I think it would be quite fitting for us to take a music break. And this hit home for a lot of us. It really did. It hit home for a lot of us. And I know there's some folks standing by who might want to chime in, and we'll see if we can get them on. But when I heard this from DMX, I'm sorry, not just DMX, but from Biz Markie, that he had passed, I know he had been, you know, fighting illness and this and that over the times, recent times, as so many folks have. But, you know, just hearing it was quite devastating. But his song was so uplifting, and that it has turned into a celebration of life. Yes, and his singing, we know so many folks who sang like Biz Markie, and it just the song just meant so very much to us. It really did, and he meant a whole lot to us, along with all of these folks. So we wanted them to be more than just a footnote. We really did. So that's why this was so important. I'm going to see if I can find this amazing song. So what do you say when you hear about Biz Markie and all these folks, Mary?
Well, it's important for everyone to remember they have the potential to become a legacy. So, you know, be your best self and do whatever it is, you know, follow your passions. And, you know, we're not guaranteed the next moment, let's not tomorrow or anything. So yeah, I want everybody to absolutely embrace life because it is for the living and make your mark.
All right. On that note, here is the song that really established Biz Markie, rap artist Biz Markie. And it's such a fun song that even if you're not into rap music, this song is so infectious, and it has such a, I think it's just a lovely melody. Please take a listen. And it's Just a Friend by Biz Markie. We'll be back. I'm Carrie Hines. I'll be back with Mary Reed Johnson and all of you. So stay with us.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping foam with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said, I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to sing. You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. And you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. So I took Blah Blah's word for it. This time I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends and that's a fact, like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding. How it's gonna be in the future we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Introducing our brand new 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network. Listen at hairradio.com. It's hair and beauty talk all around the clock. Great guests, great topics, and much more.
We're back live. You're listening to a very, very special broadcast today. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show, 2021 look back. It's a look back at an amazing year for so many different reasons. And my very special co-host helping us to take a look back is the one and only Mary Reed Johnson of Hair, Head, Heart. Mary, again, good morning, and thank you so much
good
for being
morning.
With us. Yes,
absolutely.
We are doing...
Good morning.
Absolutely. I'm loving it. When you hear, you know, some of the artistry by these folks, as we just played Just a Friend by the one and only Biz Markie that we lost in 2021, one of many folks, as we just kind of pointed out. And as we move into our next hour, I want to kind of take a look at not just some of the things that happened to us during the year of 2021 that were set in place back in 2020, and some folks say 2019 even, but I want to also look ahead, Mary Reed Johnson. We had some of the biggest news stories in this past year, but also, you know, it brings a promise for 2022. So I want to get your take on all of that. But in our next hour also, we are going to reveal the biggest news story of the entire year. And we've got the inside scoop right here on our broadcast. So you don't want to miss it. So I am very, very pleased. And I've got to say, Mary, this is something that's important for folks because a lot of this you might have forgotten actually happened. So it's kind of nice yeah. to do a am I right? What do you have to say, Mary Reed Johnson?
Oh, absolutely. And it's wonderful that these different talents who are not with us or who are, that they have recognized their gifts and shared them with the world. And so it's good for us to see, you know, all the great things that have been done and then embrace our futures.
Absolutely. Now, what about some of the pop culture words and things that came out of this past year or so that we didn't know that they would even exist? You know, I remember, first of all, we started the year, Bill Cosby was in jail.
Wow,
we had
yeah.
no idea that the legendary Bill Cosby, there was a whole bunch of talk about Bill Cosby circling, you know, a whole bunch of talk with yeah. as kind of an effect of the Me Too movement and all of that. But we did not, I think it was a surprise when Bill got out of jail. For me, I can certainly speak for myself. I'm raising my hand, folks. I was shocked. I didn't expect that. It just seemed like it came out of the blue. What do you think,
right.
Mary?
I think that character assassination is not a new thing for our community when you think about the Panthers and what they were established to do and then how, you know, things were spun to make them look a different way. You know, he's already been tried. He's already served his time. But I look at the good that he did, and it is phenomenal. So I think there was some character assassination there, and I don't always agree with, you know, whatever the politics are, and I'm okay with that. Call Carrie.
I'm raising my hand, my other hand, in agreement with you. I think you articulated it beautifully, and I'm a part of that whole, you know, where we have the ambivalence. You know, a lot of that is political. It's the nature of the time right now that was a different world. It was a different culture. In those early days. And I'll tell you something, I'm from Philadelphia, and I can certainly speak to this. I grew up literally just a few blocks from Temple University, which was very well known, and being connected with the wonderful benefits, along with so many HBCUs, who benefited from the largesse of Bill Cosby. So real yes. interesting. And some of the other news stories that happened in the year, of course.
Can I back up just a second?
Absolutely.
Our historically black colleges get extra kudos because in that big money grab that they had for during the CARES Act, Do you know that they actually paid
Mary, the
for some of their
grab. I love that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
That's okay. They actually paid for some of their students, or they housed them. They basically they took care of their students instead of charging them and you know, ruining their, you know, academic careers and stuff like that. So more than any other group in education, historically black colleges were there for their students, and I think they don't get enough attention for that.
No, absolutely not. And we're always talking about the HBCUs here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and folks like Bill Cosby who've made such huge contributions. A lot of folks would not be in school had it not been for his largesse. So let's just say that, and then let's
absolutely.
Move along, because remember, there are lots of ways, as you so eloquently put it, where things are being, you know, spun a certain way. We don't always, we are a little bit sharper minded than that. We don't just, you know, take whatever's tossed out at us as the gospel, as we say. Now, what I do want to say in this hour, first of all, if you're just joining us, we're in our third hour on this particular portion of the show, and this is a very special edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's our 2021 year in review. Now, just so that you know, what I love about what we're doing is that you can Google this on, you know, on your computer or cell phone, because I love that our year in review for 2020 was also fabulous. And it's so great when you play them both back to back. You'll play the 2020 and you'll play this edition and hear the contrast on what we thought 2021 would be like and what actually happened. So Hair Radio Morning Show, we're doing something very special because, you know, we get a chance to chronicle our lives. We literally get a chance to chronicle our lives through our radio broadcast. And just doing so many radio shows, as you guys know, we're doing hundreds and hundreds of shows. We've done literally hundreds and hundreds of not just my career in broadcasting, but of this version of the Hair Radio Morning Show, where we've had some
of
the
biggest names.
Tell
them how many years, Carrie.
About 20, the Hair Radio Show itself is over 25 years in broadcasting. And again, just for you folks who may not be aware, we started out in AM and FM broadcasting on regular, what they call terrestrial radio, which is what you used to turn a dial on in the old days, to moving to the internet. We had the very first 24-hour radio network on Hair and Beauty back in the early 2000s. I relaunched it in recent times, but we were the very first to do that. And so I'm so excited. And because of my experience with this, and then we turned the radio show, which used to air mornings and nights and all times of the day, into the morning show. So that became a three-hour daily morning show. And in doing so, I have become the most prolific hair radio broadcast information or recorded material in the world. The number one tops, bar none. I'm real excited about that. And I was the first to have a regular broadcast on Hair and Beauty on radio in the world, and the longest running. So all those things we deserve credit for. But I look past that and say you deserve the credit, being our fans and listeners and our advertisers and folks who continue to support us through all that we're doing. So I just want to say thank you. You have helped to be part of history. This show is an institution all by itself in the hair and beauty industry. So just taking a moment during our 2021 year in review to make that acknowledgement. And so it's a great thing this morning to talk about. Mary, thank you.
We
thank you
appreciate
for reminding
you
that.
So much. Yes, thank you for giving and giving and giving some more. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that means a lot. And so speaking of which, and this year, I've had folks who this was their very first time coming to our radio show. Even though I've worked with a lot of these folks in real life, you know, off air. They've been at my hair events. Back in 2019, I had the great pleasure of working with Bernard Bronner. He attended my Hair Nation Expo that was held live and in person down in Atlantic City, New Jersey, at the famed Showboat Hotel. Not just Bernard was there, but also I had a few legends. I had Bernard there, Bernard Bronner of the famous Bronner Brothers Family Events out of Atlanta, in case you guys don't know who Bernard Bronner is. He's also the CEO of Upscale Magazine. You guys know Upscale Magazine. It's been around for 30 years. So Bernard worked with me back in 2019. He attended my show. Just a wonderful, wonderful fella. And then also, we also had John Blasingame, who started a big person who's helped to start, I should say, Hype Hair Magazine. So he was there. And also at my event in 2019 at the Hair Nation Expo, we also had the amazing Alilia Bundles. And you guys need to know who she is. She's the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. And Madam C.J. Walker was just an extraordinary lady, as you guys know. She's known as the first self-made female millionaire in this country, black, white, or otherwise. But what's really amazing about all of that is that Alilia Bundles, who Alilia was named after Madam C.J. Walker's own daughter, Alilia, if you guys will remember, and we just love her so very much. And Alilia Bundles did the movie that aired on Netflix, and it's still out there on Netflix, called Self-Made. We covered this. Mary Reed Johnson, are you listening? We covered it on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we had a big panel. We talked about it. It was so exciting. It was so exciting. So, and a lot of folks, this was their first time getting a chance to really listen to, you know, what this was their take on what was going on. Now, when Alilia was on our show, Alilia Bundles, the great-great-granddaughter of Madam Walker, she was on my show. Of course, she was at my hair event, but she was also on my show on the Hair Radio Morning Broadcast. And when she was, she shared with us about the upcoming Netflix show. So I had a chance to talk to hair industry royalty. And in fact, how about if I get on a little bit of Alilia's interview right now, in case some of you need to be reminded of our great legacy and place in this business. And then it's on to the biggest news story in one, I think the biggest news story in hair and beauty, one of the biggest news stories in the world in 2021. We're going to tell you all about it in just a bit. But first, this was a piece that we did with Alilia Bundles, who is the lady behind the Netflix movie Self-Made, about her great, her famous great-great-great-grandmother, Madam C.J. Walker. So just, boy, oh boy, a lot of stuff going on. So here, we'll play a little bit of this, and we'll chime back on in with more with Carrie Hines and Mary Reed Johnson, and so much more of this special edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show, a look back at 2021. Here's Alilia Bundles. Now, this is a little bit of an older interview, but I wanted you guys to hear it because it relates to her Netflix show, which is still playing, about Madam Walker. Take a close listen, and we'll be right back with you. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Alilia Bundles, and we'll have her tell you the rest. Good morning, Alilia. Good morning to you, and welcome
to the show. Good morning, Carrie.
Yes, it's great to have you with us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, I just want to jump right on in. you are now. Hold on. Let's let you tell us about the amazing lineage that you have in the hair and beauty industry. Go right ahead. You take it away, Alelia.
Well, so I grew up with two parents who worked in the hair care industry. My great great grandmother is Madam C.J. Walker. My mother was vice president of the Walker Company when I was growing up, and my dad was president of Summit Laboratories. So we spent our vacations going to hair shows.
Wow. Well, you know what? Let's start off there. Tell us a little bit more about, now, we're a little bit more familiar, obviously, with your great-great-grandmother and even your mother's work, I mean, your grandmother's work and so forth. But tell us a little bit more about your grandfather, was it, that you were just mentioning?
My father was president of Summit Laboratories, and my mom was vice president of the Walker Company.
Oh, okay. Now tell us about the Summit Laboratory. So what did he do?
Summit Labs, so in the late 1950s, when companies like Johnson and Soft-Sheen and Summit were developing the chemical hair straighteners, and you know, people were going from the hot comb to chemical straighteners, then my dad was president of one of those companies. So when I was growing up, actually the Summit Labs was the bigger deal, was the more successful company financially, but the Walker Company, that was founded by my great-great-grandmother, Madam C.J. Walker, in 1906, certainly continues to have the legacy as a founder of the black hair care industry.
I see, and that's what I wanted to kind of jump on in. I just wanted to mention a little bit for us that it might have been lesser known. Amazing. Now, you know, we have to let us kind of elaborate a little bit on that. When someone mentions to you, and I know you've done a million of these interviews, and of course everybody wants to ask you, you know, what is it like being related to the person that we consider who started the entire black hair care industry. So I have to ask you the same question, Lilia.
You know, it's perfectly fine. So I will tell you, you know, as a kid, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to it. And my mother, who was the fourth generation of women in her family to be an executive with the Walker Company, was really wise about not making it a big deal. Because you don't really want to overwhelm kids with something like that. And so she kind of let me discover it on my own. I would ride with her to the Walker Building in Indianapolis, which was this beautiful block-long flat iron building where the company was based, the factory, the ballroom, a theater, you know, a drugstore, a beauty shop. So I would get out of the car with her, ride up the elevator to her office, where in the late 1950s she had an adding machine and a typewriter before computers and calculators.
Oh, yeah.
So I experienced that, the Walker Company, in that way, going back with my mother to the factory and talking to the ladies who were still working there and putting the products into the jars by hand. So I had that kind of memory. And then my real love was writing. And both of my parents encouraged me to follow my dream, so that when I got to graduate school at Columbia in journalism, my advisor was a sister named Phyllis Garland, the only black woman on the faculty at the journalism school. And Phil recognized my name, Alelia, which is Madam Walker's daughter's name. And she said, "Your name is Alelia. Do you have any connection to Madam Walker and Alelia Walker?" And I think she probably knew the answer, but I wasn't walking around talking about it all the time. And Phil, after listening to some of my lame topics for my master's paper, said, you know, "You are going to write about Madam Walker." And that was in 1975. And really, Phil validated it for me at a time when nobody else was really saying, "You need to write a book about this amazing woman."
Wow. Well, I have to say also, the fact that you have that you are a part of this amazing lineage that we feel has really shaped everything that we know about hair and beauty, I say, what do folks, I mean, when they come up to you, is it something that they're really nervous and, like you were saying, you know, maybe apprehensive about? And what does that mean to you?
You know, I think the thing that's really the most special thing for me is that I get a chance to tell this story. And, you know, and again, as a young person, I was kind of self-conscious about it. I was really, you know, much more interested in Alelia Walker and her Harlem Renaissance life. But what I, you know, as I became more mature and as I really began to understand who Madam Walker was, I realized that her story inspires other people. And it is about hair, and it is about her being a pioneer of what's now a multi-billion-dollar industry. But it's also about her challenges and her overcoming obstacles and being an entrepreneur, being a single mother, and having early struggles in her life, and then being able to employ thousands of other women, helping them become economically independent, and taking it even to another level by becoming a philanthropist and a patron of the arts. So she used her wealth and her influence to make a difference in her community. That began to become as important to me as the hair care part.
Wow. Amazing. And we're going to get into that because there is still, you guys are a part of providing still hair care products that carry Madam C.J. Walker's name.
Yes.
Yes, tell us a little bit about that. We'd love to hear more.
So the Madam C.J. Walker Company was founded in 1906 and really was one of the premier black-owned hair care companies into the 1950s. But it was, you know, the market was disrupted by companies like Summit and Softsheen and Johnson Products who were doing a different way, creating new products for black women. And so the Walker Company began to, you know, sales began to drop off in the late 50s, but the company never went out of business. And about five, six years ago, Richelieu Dennis, the CEO of Sundial Brands, bought the trademark and has, as we know, reformulated Madam C.J. Walker Beauty Culture. So there now are 24 products, all new formulas that are available at Sephora. And I think, you know, sometimes I do still get emails and phone calls from people who say, now, can I buy that original Madam Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower? You know, my grandmama used to use that, and that was... And I just try to be really gentle with folks and say, you know, 106 years ago, this was revolutionary, which was essentially petrolatum like Vaseline and sulfur that healed dandruff and scalp infections. We needed that then in 1906. We have learned, we've had 100 years of research and development, and we have taken advantage of that with these new products and these new formulas.
Absolutely. And to have done something that has such an impact, I mean, to be at Sephora, and here in New York, that's like huge to us here. So
exactly.
Outstanding. And I love the work that they're doing. So we're going to shout out those folks, you know, with the new voices and
right.
All that they're doing. So good work. Now, hey, I have to ask you, and folks out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. This morning we're chatting literally with, I call hair royalty, Ms. Alelia Bundles. And I just have to say also, now, you've got some exciting new projects to get into and to talk about a little bit. I think, yes, we're going to talk about this amazing TV series that everybody's talking about. It literally is all over the news everywhere. But before we get to that, Alelia, I do want to talk about, you've written several books.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're working on your biography, which I'm really excited to talk to you about. But yes, tell us a little bit about some of the books that you've written, if you don't mind. And also, do you prefer to kind of write more? Like, you do so many different wonderful things.
So I have written four books about Madam Walker, and I wrote my first one, a young adult book, in 1991. And believe it or not, that was the first book that had ever been written about Madam Walker. Then I did a major biography called On Her Own Ground, The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker. And that is the book that is in development as an 8-part Netflix series starring Octavia Spencer and executive produced by Octavia Spencer and LeBron James. I've written another book for young readers and then a book that has 200 photographs called Madam Walker Theater Center. The book that I'm almost finished with now is a biography of Madam Walker's daughter, Alelia Walker, called The Joy Goddess of Harlem, and that will come out next year. But, you know, the books are something, telling this story and really being able to document it was important to me because there's so many myths and so much misinformation really about any African-American or female historical figure that somebody has to write kind of the first marker of getting the facts right. And that's what I've really tried to do in writing the books about her.
Well, we have to toss in the mix. There is the first thing that everyone has said when you hear Madam C.J. Walker's name is the straightening comb and the black female millionaire. Those are the two things that we attribute to Madam C.J. Walker. But it's wonderful to have you to fill in, you know, and also kind of, you know, set the record straight, literally.
Yes, well, that is literally and untangle the myths. But I mean,
I like
you
that.
Know, I'll tell you. So the straightening comb is, you know, it's like essential. People believe that, and they, it's like, but you know, my mama told me that, and my auntie told me that, and so that must be true. And I'm sorry to contradict your mama, but Madam Walker did not invent the hot comb.
And everybody believes that.
But really, you know, and I actually wrote part of there's a Wikipedia entry on the hot comb, and I, you know, anybody can write, and I did a ton of research to just make sure people understand hot combs were around when Madam Walker was still working in the cotton fields in Louisiana. Other people had invented them. They were for sale in the Bloomingdale's and Sears catalogs in the 1890s. So this was long before she started her business. So I just want people to understand that. And actually, you know, I will say that part of my ambivalence about her when I was a child of the 60s and, you know, going from my perm to my afro was, I don't know what, you know, what I think about that. And as I began to do research, I realized that often what happens with famous people is somebody has, you know, one thing that they think they know about that person, and sometimes that one thing is actually incorrect. And what I learned about her and her original products is that, like many women, she was going bald because she had bad dandruff and scalp infections because people didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't wash their hair very often. They covered their hair up. They didn't wash it sometimes at all in the winter. And she was trying to figure out what to do to grow her hair, not to necessarily have straight hair. So that was really a revelation for me to really discover that. So no, Madam Walker did not invent the hot comb. What she did was to create a line of products that shampoo and ointment with sulfur that healed dandruff and scalp disease and really and scalp massages and then just a whole system of pampering women. That was really what she was about. And I think that it was, I think what she discovered, because she'd had such a hard life, is that women's souls and spirits needed healing as much as their scalps. So she was kind of charismatic and, you know, sort of had a ministry almost of empowering women.
I love it. It sounds to me as like it's not just what's on your head, but what's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. Now, I do have to ask you, you know, the TV series, we absolutely have to talk about this. We are excited. You touched on it a moment or two ago. This amazing opportunity to bring this story to life about Madam C.J. Walker, your great-great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you mentioned that it's starring Oscar winner Octavia Spencer.
Yes.
And she's also co-executive producing. So it doesn't get much better than that.
Exactly.
Now, along with LeBron James. How did something like that come about that you can share with us today?
Morning coffee, vanilla latte served to go. Drink it slow.
We're back live. You're listening to a very special broadcast today. Of the Hair Radio Morning Show, called the 2021 Year in Review. It is my honor. I'm Carrie Hines to be with you on this very, very special broadcast. Now, my co-host for this morning's show is the one and only Hairhead Heart host. You guys know her. She is a radio personality in her own right. Mary Reed Johnson. Again, good morning. Good morning to you.
Absolutely. Good morning. Happy to be here.
Yes. Now, what when you hear the amazing Alilia Bundles, the great-great-granddaughter of hair industry legend and superstar, Madam C.J. Walker, what do you say? What do you do? And we had her on our broadcast.
We have to embrace legacy. That is an amazing thing, and to give homage to the people who did what they needed to do at the time they needed to do it. And I know that you can't have Madam C.J. Walker's story without also mentioning Annie Malone. And, you know, her legacy is just as vital and important and wonderful, and I encourage people to find out more.
Well, Annie Malone, yes, and Annie Malone was the, for those who are just hearing Annie Malone's name for the first time, may not be as familiar, and that may be for different reasons. I think even a little bit longer in the piece that we have with Madam Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Alilia Bundles, she addresses Annie Malone. She addresses a lot of the whole misunderstanding that seemed to be between the two ladies. But Annie Malone, who was just a huge, huge, towering figure in the way of hair and beauty, she was the very first true self-made millionaire that is we can prove. However, the reason that, and this is what Alilia also says, the reason that it seems that Madam C.J. Walker's legacy endures is because at the time when Madam Walker died, they can show the receipts stating back then that she was a millionaire. So for Madam, for Alilia Bundle, I'm sorry, Alilia Bundle, for Annie Malone. Yeah, Annie Malone died. She was the she lived a while past Madam Walker. Remember, Madam Walker died in 1919, and Annie Malone died in the 1950s. And the difference was also that you had Annie Malone suffered a great deal dealing with tax issues and husbands that, you know, kind of ripped her off, so to speak. But it was not a surprise.
And even the government.
Well, the taxes, yeah, that's what I mean. The taxes, she had a huge thing, and she didn't quite recover from that. So that was why she did not have money like that when she died. Now, it was on record in some places that she was very wealthy. It was also on record that she paid more taxes in the state at the time when she was alive, more than anybody. She had
$40,000 in 1926 or something. Yeah,
she had buildings, and what remains of her legacy, she has two big parts that remains of her legacy. Madam Walker has something that remains of her legacy too. So I want to speak to, you know, we can talk about all these amazing folks. In addition, there were others. They weren't just those two ladies. We had Sarah Spencer Washington out of Atlantic City area, who I've paid tribute to at even my hair show in Atlantic City. We had her great grandnephew on our show as well. So we talked to everybody. And
This is exactly.
Yeah, we really have. We've talked to everybody.
All of them are important, and everybody did their part. And so that's what I'm trying to get across. Yes.
Yeah, and effectively done. Annie Malone, all of them, they deserve. Now, in the Netflix series, for you who are not in the hair and beauty industry, the movie, the Netflix movie, is loosely based on Alilia's book. It is 100% Alilia's, you know, she signed off on it, so it's her thing. But, you know, they kind of were a little bit loose with some of the facts. The person who seemed to be the Annie Malone character, that's not really based in reality.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossieAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
Clint Beast on the boom.
You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with Statewide Shit. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. Catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
You Go Girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You Go Girl.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, it's Thursday, November 11th of 2021, and we've been kind of taking a real interesting look back at the year with some of the biggest stories around the land that we've covered right on our broadcast. And if that's not enough, and that is enough, but we also are honoring our heroes today, you guys, the veterans. It's Veterans Day on this, again, Thursday morning, November 11th of 2021. It's our show number 630. And we don't want to remind you to tune in to Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins and Michael's Angels panel. You'll hear them on Tuesday mornings right here at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Now, today, we're about to wrap up. We've got a little bit more to go on some of the biggest stories. Now, what is ahead is the biggest story of the year. And it's not just a story that was all over the news, but it was a story that we had a very big part in covering and also in featuring these folks on our show. So really interesting. We're going to have you to stay tuned. You don't want to miss that. And that'll be coming up in just a moment. And towards the end of the show, we'll see if we can get back some of the Vet Talk folks and see if they can tell us a little bit about what to expect next week. You know, we need to honor and celebrate our veterans, not just once or twice a year, but every day. So we salute you on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we're going to kind of get back to our official look back at some of the biggest stories of 2021. So again, I'm Carrie Hines. I want to thank you for being with us. And if you missed any part of this, we're going to share the entire three-hour episode from today's broadcast on our social media following the broadcast today around 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central Time. So we certainly want you to stay tuned for that. And also, we're across 9 podcast platforms like Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to hear us right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So again, I want to thank you so much for
just supporting us. And again, welcome to our amazing advertisers and sponsors, along with our brand new sponsor, or new advertiser, I should say. And we're welcoming her to the advertising family. We're talking about Jossie's Au Natural Hair Care line. And you've been hearing the commercial play right here on the broadcast. And we're shouting out Jossie, of course, and just some amazing folks who are kind of helping to keep us going this morning. So stay with us. This is the wrap-up. Up right now, the biggest news story that we can really talk about, where we were all in so just glued to the TV and to the internet to find out the latest details. And Mary Reed Johnson, I'm going to let you take it away, just that you've been so kind to share the mic with me tonight. What was the biggest story that you
I'm
can
thinking.
Imagine?
Yes, I think the clue for me was you said glued. Are you talking about the young woman who did okay.
You got it. You got that clue, the clue. Correct. And we're talking about Tessica Brown, and the biggest news story, of course, was the Gorilla Glue Girl. That was her moniker that was given pretty much by the internet, and because she purposely placed the glue in her hair just so that it would remain in place. What's the full intention of, you know, taking it out or removing it?
It did work.
Well, she did accomplish that. This is true. And but, you know, when I had the miracle doctor, Dr. Obeng, who truly rescued her, you know, remedied this situation. Well, you know what? Why don't we let you take a listen? This was the biggest news story, and it's a great way to kind of bring our amazing look back at the year 2021 to a close. And then when we come back after this wonderful play replay of Dr. Obeng talking about the Gorilla Glue incident, which we're going right to the horse's mouth, literally, then, Mary, we're going to talk about what we hope to do in 2022. So that's on the note we'll leave you with today. Right now, I want to get on this amazing piece that when I remember you couldn't turn on the TV or go to the internet without seeing a story about Tessica Brown, who was the young lady that we're talking about. And her doctor that she went to out in Beverly Hills, California. We're talking about the Beverly Hills doctor that we had an opportunity to talk with, Dr. Michael Obeng. So listen, take a listen to this, and we're going to talk on the other side. Mary Reed Johnson of Hair, Head, Heart, and stay with us. We've got a little bit more to go. Stay with us this morning. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. Now, he's a part of this pretty much the biggest story in America. It is my honor to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show the one and only, we're going to say, Dr. Obeng, Dr. Michael Obeng. Thank you so much, and welcome to the broadcast. I was getting ready to work in Miracle Doctor. That was my day there. So good morning to you, and we're just so honored to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Carrie. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the show this morning.
And to share
my experience with your audience.
Wonderful. Well, I have to jump right on in. And we're talking about the amazing work that you have done with Miss Tessica Brown. Now, it has been reported everywhere and across the internet. We're talking about huge in terms of the notoriety that's been, you know, reached about the, you know, about the story. In terms of Tessica, somehow with the Gorilla Glue that you know, she placed in her hair, and everybody knows the story. But what we don't know, and what you might be able to tell us, is like a, you know, what prompted her beyond what we've seen in the reported, you know, gossip and this and that? What can you tell us
that might shed some light on how this, because you would have had to kind of, you know, kind of, I imagine, delve into that a little bit so you know how best to treat it. So what can you share with us today, Dr. Obing?
Thank you very much, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Krista. What happened with Tessica was very unfortunate. You know, it's one of those honest mistakes, you know, that somebody ran into something they thought they can use an alternative on a temporary basis. And it will turn into a month ordeal and a worldwide fanfare. And, of course, you know, these accidents happen all the time. And it's not just with hair or hairspray. You know, it happens all the time when people are, you know, washing their mouth with the wrong mouthwash and so on and so forth. And I think the world should give Tessica a break. You know, women go through a lot with their hair, especially black women. And, you know, to get a bottle of a Gorilla spray, blue spray to spiritual head, thinking that she can wash it off, you know, in a few hours, that has turned into a national story or a worldwide fanfare. It's something of it's a cautionary tale for all of us. And that's what I can say to that.
Well, I have to kind of add to that. I looked at everything when I started researching this, and I kind of looked at both the product that I believe she typically used and ran out of versus the product that she used. And honestly, there was, in my opinion, this is Carrie Hines, there was like a similar kind of description from me, from my words. So to me, you know, I can understand how somebody might do something like that, especially in a sense of, you know, when you're desperate and want your hair to look a certain way. You know, these are the you know, how a lot of folks have been kind of pushed to that limit in terms of that. That's the bigger, broader story now seems to be hitting out there. But I want to kind of take a moment to kind of turn to the questions that folks have asked me to ask you about the process and so forth. So can you walk us through because you created this concoction, if you will, I hate the word concoction, but you created, you know, you did some research and came up with, you know, what to use to kind of alleviate the situation, to remedy this, you know, this situation. So how can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, so when the story first broke and we got wind of it and my office asked me if I can help it, and of course I said I can, you know, of course I didn't know it was a national sensation or something that had taken the whole world by storm. You know, I just said in confidence and in gratuity that, you know, pretty much anything I can think of, I can do it through the Lord who strengthens me. But when I found out it was Gorilla Glue and it became a reality, after I said, yes, I can do it, and within 2-3 hours later, you know, I was getting confirmatory message that, okay, she's going to be here 2 days later, which was on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Wow.
You know, I said, sure. So, of course, you know, I'm not in the field that uses Gorilla Glue all the time. I've heard of Gorilla Glue or Crazy Glue, but I don't know what was in it. Once I heard about it, I knew I was going to do it. You know, with any good, any good visionary or great visionary, you want to go look into and do research into what you're about to do. And if you are not used to it, you know, you have to delve into the problem much deeper. So, of course, I had to Google Gorilla Glue, and I had to Google the main ingredients, which happens to be polyurethane, which is a very, very, very strong adhesive that, you know, goes back, that was born into America, I think, in the early 1990s from the Southeast Asia, where it was being used for furniture manufacturing. Then I then decided, okay, what can then dissolve polyurethane? You know, what are some of the solvents available? And having a chemistry background, you know, can help. So I was able to find out the different things that can break it down. But now we are not talking about just breaking something down on the surface, but this is on a human skin or human scalp. And, of course, being a doctor also tells me that if you put caustic solutions or caustic substances on the body, on the scalp, it can potentially burn it. So now we have to find a fine balance between something that was gentle to the skin or the scalp and something that was effective enough to dissolve this powerful glue. And after the research that I did in the last 2 days on Monday night, Tuesday night, and also making a call to Gorilla Glue and my old chemistry professor just to pick his idea, his brain.
Wow.
And made me come up with something. Of course, Gorilla Glue never reached back to me. They texted me that they tried to reach me. But by the time they texted me on, I think, Wednesday morning, I had already figured it out. And I have done experiments on the mannequin, on the skull that I have, one of those surgical scars that I used to use when I used to teach residents how to put plates and screws in people's faces, and that sat in front, that sits in my office. So, we're fortunate enough to get hair donated by the Southern Temple here in Beverly Hills. Southern Temple. They gave me human hair. Veronica gave me human hair. We put the hair onto this call, and then, we took the Gorilla Glue. So my staff, Oscar Garcia, my assistant, went to Home Depot to buy me Gorilla Glue and buy me all the things that I needed, And we were able to spray, and I still have it here in my office, and it's stuck to this call. I spray around holding the hair. So what we first did was to glue the human hair donated by Southern Temple to this call, and then we glue hair extensions on top of the human hair. Then we let it sit for about 6 hours, and then the solution that I've tried on myself initially we do what's called test spots. So it burned a little burn, which is fine. If you use a little Q-tip and it burns, that means it's going to burn the scalp. So after we find the right solution that was hard, was gentle to my skin, I knew it was going to be gentle to scalp. And we used it on the mannequin on this call, the demo I had created, and the hair started to unravel. So back then and then, I knew that we had a product that can dissolve human, that can dissolve Gorilla Glue. And when Tessica arrived on Wednesday morning, I was very confident, without a doubt, that it was going to be successful. And by the grace of God, everything went well, and she's back in Louisiana doing well.
Absolutely, and we are so proud to hear of that. We really are. One of the questions that came in from one of my followers and fans of the show, they wanted to know if the treatment that you provided, did it have any effect on the hair follicles, on her hair follicles? Because, you have to be so careful, like you said. It's, in terms of preventing, long-term damage or anything like that. Is there anything that you could tell us about, because she seems to be really happy. I think I caught some videos where she was running her fingers through her hair and all of that. So did the glue go all the way down inside the follicles? Anything that you could tell us on that part?
So initially, of course, things can penetrate to hair follicles whenever you put stuff on your scalp or your skin. So I can tell you that the glue initially would have gotten to the follicles. Of course, it would temporarily burn because of the fact that it's caustic in nature. It would temporarily burn. It will burn a little bit, but it might have some temporary effect on the hair follicles. But I think all in all, she's going to recover. And then the solution that we used was very gentle, gentle enough that it's not going to hurt her follicles. It hasn't hurt my hair follicles, so hopefully you shouldn't hurt her hair follicles. Yeah,
well, now, what about, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to ask you, what about subsequent follow-ups? Is this going to be something that you're going to have to work with her ongoing, or is she just going to be able to just resume, her life as it was before this happened?
Yeah, she should be back to normal life, but I told her to be very gentle with her hair and her scalp, just to, in simplicity terms, just to treat it like a newborn baby. You don't want to put harsh chemicals. Everything that she uses should be very gentle in nature, and I recommend using baby shampoo, baby conditioner, just things that has nothing that is harmful to, or that can also compromise an already compromised your scalp.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Obeng, I do want to take a moment because I understand that there is a charitable organization that you are associated with or helps establish that I just love, you know, what I read about this and helping the folks over in Ghana. And we have so many listeners who tune in from Ghana to the show. They're big fans. So, yeah, so I'm not, and I know them, a lot of them by name, so that's not just me saying anything. So I'm so proud.
Thank you for getting my Ghanaian people involved, you know, and shout out to them, you know. It took a village to get me to America, and at the tender age of 20, and when I left home to come to college here, you know, of course, you know, 28 years, almost 30 years later, the Lord has blessed me so much that, you know, we decided, you know, growing up in Ghana, I saw a lot of diseases and illnesses, you know, and deformities that were attributed to witchcraft, you know, people at the time, and there's some of the belief is still there, you know, in the remote areas, you know, of people still think that children with deformities are cursed, and, you know, the little gods, you know, witches, you know, they are cursed, and their families are cursed, that's why they come out like that. They don't understand that we have the same issues here in the Western world, in America, that kids are born with cleft lip, cleft palate, and these are normal kids. It's just that, you know, during the developmental state, developmental process, things did not go according to plan. You know, things, there were not little mishaps, and that's why these kids have deformities. And these kids can be treated, and they can have normal life. You know, the field of plastic surgery became known to me at the tender age, I believe, around 13 to 15, when I witnessed firsthand the works of Operation Smile when they came to Ghana and did surgery on a neighbor. The beautiful young lady I grew up with, her brother, her face had been burned with sulfuric acid, which was very commonplace growing up in Ghana. You can go buy acid, and they use it for your cars, you know, to add it to the battery. And this man put acid on the young lady's face because she didn't want to be in a relationship with him. And her face was burned, and she became a recluse. She never really left her home. And, you know, I saw firsthand what Operation Smile did. And, of course, you know, I didn't see Operation Smile during the surgery, but I asked my friend, wow, what happened to your sisters? Oh, there's a group of doctors from America came to Ghana, you know, came and did this surgery on her. And, you know, I saw the restoration of hope, you know, that this young lady has. So from that day, I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. So fast forward, in 1998, 99, one of my mentors, Dr. Miller, John Miller, when surgery, I was in training at the time. I think I was a third-year medical student. Dr. Miller was doing surgery. He's a plastic surgeon, a hand surgeon. And he looked at me and said, Michael, you are from Ghana, right? I said, yeah. I said, why don't we go to Ghana and do free surgery? Now, he's the one who put the seed in my head in 1998, 99. And, of course, I knew that, you know, the Lord has blessed me. And, you know, when the Lord, you know, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's
so
right.
Fast forward to 2006, when I was in Boston at Harvard doing my fellowship, that's when the name Restore came to my head. You know, Restore is the name of my nonprofit organization, and it stands for Restoring Emotional Stability through Outstanding Reconstructive Efforts. And since 2007, we've been to Africa, we've been to Central America, Southeast Asia. And we have done over 1,500 surgeries, all free of charge. You know,
that is amazing.
And last year when COVID hit, we decided to start offering help in our own backyard. Of course, you know, we still help people. You know, every year I'm a big breast cancer advocate and breast reconstruction advocate. I happen to be the first one in Los Angeles area to host the first Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day that was launched by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons in 2012, hosted an event to educate women about their rights to breast reconstruction. So charity has always been a forefront of mine, and I've always joked around that if I was a trust fund baby, I'd be going to developing countries doing free surgery, or even here in America, offering help to people who cannot navigate through the complex process of our healthcare.
That's
why Restore is so important and so dear to my heart.
Wow. Well, we are just blown away. And for folks who are just joining us, We're talking today on the Hair Radio Morning Show with the one and only Dr. Michael Obeng from out in Beverly Hills. Now, we understand that you work with the director of Miko Plastic Surgery out in Beverly Hills. How is all of that and your work there? Does that play a part in you taking on some of these extra efforts and helping, you know, folks who are in such need with plastic surgery?
So Miko Plastic Surgery is my practice here in Beverly Hills. We've been here for 10 years.
Wow.
And it has been the engine behind my charity. You know, the money that we make from here is supposed to charity. This charity has been supported, you know, largely in part by the efforts of, you know, our practice here, the staff and friends, about 75% and 25% of donations from other sources, you know. And so it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that the Lord has blessed me enough to give me a practice that can fund, you know, to help other people in need, free of charge. And, you know, for those of you guys listening, you know, we are here. We are here to serve the general public. You know, we offer, you know, the two breadth of plastic surgery, of course, the entire staff and colleagues. You know, so we do everything here. I like to do more faces and breast and body procedures. And then I have colleagues here who does other things. But, you know, this practice has been the engine behind Restore. And for those of you listening, if you want to help, and spread the love and restore more hope and function and put smiles on people's faces and change communities, you guys can go to restoreworldwide.org. Every donation is appreciated, you know, and no amount of money is little, you know. So we thank you guys, you know, for tuning in to listen to me and to share my story with you guys. And you guys can also follow us at Dr. Michael K. Obeng, that's my full name, and also our Restore Worldwide. That's the Restore's social media handle. So thank you very much, Kerry.
It's been my pleasure. I have to say again, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Obeng. This has just been a big thing, and you've helped to clarify a whole lot and shine a light on all of this, and we're going to continue to support.
All right, we're back live. Yes, that was the amazing Dr. Michael Obeng. You guys know the miracle doctor with this whole Tessica Brown situation, better known as the Gorilla Glue Girl, my special co-host for these few hours. We've had you on. This is our third hour of this amazing special, and my amazing co-star, Mary Reed Johnson, thank you so much. You've just done an extraordinary job. There you have it.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
Yes, the one, I think, were you surprised? That is the biggest story of 2021, the Gorilla Glue Girl, of course. And so we are... The funny thing, Mary Reed Johnson, is that we were right in the middle of a lot of the action. Now, some of the things that deserve an honorary mention, of course, we had the Black Lives Matter folks on with television attorney Lisa Bloom, who was on our show twice in 2021. So that deserves an honorable mention at this year in review. And also that we... You had Dr. Obeng on, and this was at a time in February when the Gorilla Glue story was all over the news and the internet. So we were very lucky to have him on. As you heard, he's a Beverly Hills surgeon and just doing so much out there. He truly is a miracle. So now,
I got to say,
yes, go right ahead, Mary. Jump on in.
If our dear lady had read the Gorilla Glue instructions, one of the things that makes Gorilla Glue work is you wet whatever the surface. And so once she shampooed her hair, I'm sure that's where it became a wrap.
Yeah, literally a wrap. Those puns can go on all night. Well, you know what? I'm glad that he was able to remedy her situation. We're going to revisit the Gorilla Glue story. 1 year later. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to look for that coming up in 2022. We have so many wonderful things, and it's just my honor to have you guys on with us as we look back. Now, Mary, I want to give you the last word before we go over into our outro. What is this going to mean to you? And this, we've been looking back at 2021 in these last few hours, and we're so happy to share with all of our amazing fans out there around the world. Literally, this has been an extremely amazing year, and you guys are still with us, and you're hanging in. You've made us who we are. So I'm giving you the last word. What do you have to say this morning about next year? What are you looking forward to? Mary Reed Johnson of Hair, Head, Heart.
I'm so excited for the things that are coming up. Everything I started, I have a salon safety handbook coming out in this next year. Just more classes, more information to share with people.
Morning coffee, vanilla latte sip to go. Drink it slow.
All right, it has been an exciting broadcast. Again, you just heard Mary Reed Johnson. I want to thank her, my co-host, for this look back. I'm just taking a quick moment to bring to the line Nur Jahan, who works with Michael Hopkins and the entire panel of the Angels. We also have Katrina and Nicole shouting them out. Michael Hopkins, you guys heard from him earlier on this broadcast today as we celebrate Veterans Day. And I just wanted to get you on real quick, Nur Jahan, just to remind everybody to listen to Vet Talk Radio Show. So go ahead. Here you go. Nur Jahan.
Thank you, Carrie. Good morning, everybody. Yes, don't forget to tune in to Vet Talk Radio Show next Tuesday at 8:30 a.m., 7:30 Central.
Lovely.
Right.
Perfect.
Here.
Thank you so much. Yes, so we are so excited, and it's Veterans Day. So I know all of you guys, I know you want to salute the veterans all around America, and we share that sentiment here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So great job. Don't forget, Nur Jahan, you guys have been doing such a great job on the VTR show and the Vet Talk Radio program, and I am just so proud of each and every one of you guys. Okay, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, you've helped to make this an important holiday for our veterans. So again, we thank all of you guys, Michael Hopkins and the whole team, and all of our listeners and fans all across America and outside of America. Appreciate your time. So here's our outro for today. We'll see you back here for a brand new broadcast, our Friday broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show airing tomorrow. Today was broadcast show number 630 as we march towards our 700th show. So here's today's outro. We'll see you back here at 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 o'clock Central. All right, folks.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, stimulatingroots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, it's R-U-T-Z. Again, amazing hair products that supports healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, stimulatingroots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z is how they spell roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services. And you will find many of them right here in our website store at www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com, spelled with just one R. Now, it's also been our honor to welcome our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans from coast to coast in the United States and North